if you're planning a trip to Europe or beyond, anytime this summer, you've probably already seen the prices going up. No real mistake for why that is. Of course, the war having a huge effect on gas prices, and that, of course, includes jet fuel. But this article, going to Europe this summer, good luck, might also apply to the fall, the winter. Joining us now is Robert Mann. He's the principal at RW Mann and Company and Aero Developments. Robert, thanks for coming on WGN today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. Nice to join you.
I mean, is there a one-for-one? The longer that the Strait of Hormuz remains closed, the longer this outstretching pain at paying for prices of tickets and planes is going to keep on going further out?
Well, the closure of the Strait is the immediate issue, but the longer-term issue is actually the destruction of production facilities, distribution facilities, and to some extent, just the market size will have contracted with the much higher prices that are going to be charged.
You're talking about the destruction of facilities like the bombs that have blown up certain refineries and such, right?
Exactly. In the Middle East, we've lost a significant amount of production, transportation, obviously pipeline and port facilities, storage facilities, and then also just refining. I mean, literally half of the jet fuel that's used in Europe is refined in the Middle East and delivered, and very little of that is being delivered right now.
This is a dumb question. Is jet fuel refined at the same place that the oil that we eventually use in our cars are refined to, or were these specific places targeted because of their impact that they'd have on a global air market? Walk us through that a little bit.
Sure. Well, all oil is different, which is to say it's different by origin. Some of it is thicker, some of it is lighter, some of it has more sulfur, some of it has less, some of it has different hydrocarbon components. But in general, if you put oil of any sort into a refinery, you'll get a variety of distillates, as they call it, that result. And jet fuel might be one of those. There are refineries that are tuned up specifically to produce the maximum amount of jet fuel with the right kind of oil. And that's a lot of what we have here in the U.S. So we don't have a shortage of jet fuel, but we do have very high-priced jet fuel. And we're exporting about 450,000 barrels a day of refined jet fuel to Europe right now.
I assume jet fuel, just like the other fuel, like you're saying, we export a lot of it. Okay. Doesn't mean the prices are lower. Part of a global market, just like the gasoline in our cars.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. I mean, that's the issue. I mean, the only difference is the transportation cost between here and there. And given the choice between no jet fuel and some jet fuel at, you know, reasonable prices, even considering transportation, that's where a lot of it goes.
We are out chatting with Robert Mann, by the way. Read his column in the New York Times. Iridian did, that's what I should say. And she gave it to me, which I found very interesting. One note you have here is that even at home, your flight choices may be limited. Major airlines have reduced the number of available seats. Explain to me the logic of that. Wouldn't you want to pack the plane with as much people as possible if you're going to be having to pay more for your jet fuel?
Well, there's some of that going on, yes. You want to be more efficient, and generally a larger aircraft is more fuel efficient. But what comes with higher prices is higher fares, and what comes with higher fares is reduced demand. So you really don't need as many seats. And in Europe, and to some degree in Asia as well, where there's a physical shortage of jet fuel, they really don't believe they have more than probably several weeks worth of excess at this point. And going into the summer, that's insufficient for flying a full schedule. So they have actually reduced the amount of flying that they do by about 5% in Europe, and approaching that level in Asia as well. We haven't seen that here for availability reasons, but we are seeing it in the U.S. market for pricing reasons.
Seems like this is an issue that kind of compounds on itself. It costs more to fill the planes up. That leads to X, Y, and Z, and this can kind of be something that spirals a bit as we go through the summer.
Yeah, that's the concept of demand destruction. You literally have to charge such high prices that a certain component of the market, typically the most price-sensitive portion of it, is just priced out and decides either not to fly or fly somewhere closer or get in the car and drive.
So what's the long term? I mean, can this be something recoverable if we are able to settle the war and this will settle down within the next couple of months, years? You mentioned those refineries destroyed. I mean, how far are we looking out here for this being a real disruption to travel?
Well, I think realistically, looking through 2027, even if hopefully things resolve fairly quickly, and there are some facilities that would take longer than that to repair. On the plus side, there is a trans-Saudi pipeline that is presently in place, but whose capacity is being doubled, which would actually totally eliminate the need to drive through the Strait of Hormuz, so to speak. And that could actually make things a little easier, let's say, in 2028.
Does the Spirit closing put more issues out there? I mean, we're talking about less seats. I mean, that's got to cut into the number of seats that are out there that were originally available to book.
Right. That's somewhere between 2-3% of the seats, depending upon the day of the week. And actually, the interesting thing is that with the exception of five, kind of cat and dog sort of markets, other carriers have already backfilled the markets that Spirit flew. So some of those were uniquely Spirit markets. Some of them were flown by others. So a lot of it has been recovered. But, of course, any ticket you buy now is going to be substantially more expensive than a ticket you may have bought on Spirit, which, of course, now is not going to be able to carry you.
Obviously, this changes by airline, but like, what are the margins on an airplane and a flight that's full? And I guess what I'm asking is, are the airlines, have they been able to eat any of the costs to not pass the sticker shock onto the passengers, or are the margins so small that jet fuel goes up, you're going to see the prices go up, and it's kind of linear like that?
Well, the margins are slim, even in a good year, and airlines will probably pay about $25 billion, well, at the present prices, about $25 billion more in fuel costs than they were planning to. And that's about twice what they earned in 2024 and 2025 combined as an industry. So This is a significant hit. And they can't recover it immediately. Anybody who purchased a ticket, let's say back in February, who's on gold right now because it's a very low price, an airline can't go back and charge them more just because fuel prices went up. So the only thing they can do is try to recover from future passengers. And they believe they get about half of that back within a 90-day period, perhaps slightly more than that within 6 months. And then unfortunately, from the consumer side, those prices are very reluctant to go down if, in fact, jet fuel prices actually retract or retrace, I should say.
Robert, you clearly know this subject really well. I hope you don't mind if we poke you again to bring you on to chat more in depth about certain things in this industry in the future.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. I appreciate it. We'll quote you on that when you, Robert. So.
Thank you. All right, John. You got it.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. That's Robert Mann from RW Mann and Company. Interesting stuff about the future of the airline travel. Boy, I got a lot more questions about planes. We're just out of time today.